All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, April 12, 2014. Moving day at the Masters. Couldn't be more excited. Have a great guest today lined up, Ron Sirek, the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer at Golf Digest. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Ryan Sirek on the line. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by executive editor of Golf World and senior writer of Golf Digest, Ron Sirek. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
How could all the pleasure's all ours, and how bad could things be when you wake up, it's moving day at the Masters?
Yeah, you know, after we got that rain behind us on Monday, when about 2 inches came down and we had to evacuate the golf course, it's been absolutely spectacular here. Conditions are perfect, and you know, it sort of tells you how hard the hole locations have been the first 2 days, that the scores haven't been really low, nothing below a 68, and in what has been perfect weather conditions.
Are you a little surprised by the hole locations in the sense that do you feel that they wanted to throttle it back a little bit to allow for the excitement on the weekend without it getting out of control in terms of relative to par?
You know, I think that that's pretty much what they've been doing the last few years. They sort of realized after they did all the renovations at a golf course, lengthened it by almost 500 yards, that they had lost some of those weekend roars, you know, and they sort of noticed there wasn't as much excitement on the weekend. And they haven't told us this, but what it appeared to me the last few years is they use the hard hole locations on Thursday and Friday, weed out the dead wood,
right,
and then make accessible positions on Saturday and Sunday to create more excitement on the weekend and better television on the weekend.
Absolutely. You have to sort of earn your way to the weekend at this point.
Yeah, which is what's amazing, the fact that we had six 50-year-olds make it to the weekend. But, you know, that shows you how much Augusta National is a local knowledge golf course, you know.
Sure.
And you can think your way around this course, and guys like Freddie Couples know how to do that.
You know, before we get into the tournament itself, I wanted to just, since I have someone who has covered the game as long as you have and done it so well, I wanted to maybe if you could put the drive, chip, and putt into perspective a little bit. Do you feel that this initiative is sort of the can almost do more than many of the plethora of initiatives that are out there to grow the game? I feel like this is almost the one initiative that could really drive, be the engine that drives all the other initiatives at this point, being it's so spectacular. But how would you rate it historically in terms of trying to grow the game?
Well, first off, it was much, much better than I was expecting. I was at the Kraft Nabisco Championship last week, and I left there on Saturday so I could be here Sunday morning to watch it. And I was impressed by a couple things. And first off, how well the members of Augusta National embraced it. You know, they were out there. There were a lot of green jackets, and they were supporting it. The Golf Channel got totally into it. In fact, they want to expand their coverage of it next year. The whole thing's going to grow this year. There's going to be 256 qualifiers in all 50 states this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe as early as next year, certainly the year after that they take it international. I think it could be a huge grow the game thing. These kids were terrific, And they're going to go back and they're going to talk to their friends about it. And they're going to talk to their friends who don't play golf and say, I was on TV. This was cool. On Saturday night, the club hosted at a hotel downtown, hosted a big dinner for all 88 competitors and their families and stuff. And, you know, there's a few hundred people there. There was a big outlay of money on this. I think it's money well spent. And I'm really bullish on the future of the drive, chip, and putt contest.
Yeah, I think the point is well made in terms of, there are a lot of kids who play the game that are doing this, that are already playing the game, so to speak. But I think the word of mouth, when you find out that you're going to be at Augusta National, when you're having dinner with all the all these professional golfers and celebrities, if you'd like, and you're going to tell your friends about this, and word catches on quick.
You know, when a lot of past Masters champions showed up it was the Sunday before the tournament, they probably were going to practice, but I don't think it was a coincidence that we had Adam Scott and Bubba Watson and some of the other past Masters champions. I'm sure the club reached out to them and said, hey, come on, guys, you got to help us on this. And they did. And they showed up, and that was a thrill for the kids to have them there watching the competition. And that's, again, something else they're going to tell their friends.
Yeah, what a memory. I mean, to have a replica mini green jacket put onto you by the past champion with the authentic green jacket, I can't imagine a better memory than that.
I'll tell you what was really impressed me, too, is there were eight winners, you know, in the four different age groups for the boys and for the girls. And they brought them into the interview room for us on Sunday. And the kids were, they're not only good golfers, they were really articulate. And they also appreciated what this meant. You know, there was no sense of entitlement about it. There was this one little girl who won the girls 7-9 category, Kelly Hsu from Santa Monica, California. And she killed the ball when she was in the drive competition. But then she came in and she just talked about what a thrill it was to be here and how fortunate she felt to have this opportunity. And it was nice to see that sort of sense of, there was no sense of entitlement or arrogance or I deserve this in there.
Right.
They were all good kids.
Yeah, it seemed like that from the interviews that we saw, even from On the Range with Kurt Byron and stuff like that. I'm wondering if you think that this will act independently of the other initiatives, or do you feel like this is sort of the carrot that people will now utilize some of the other initiatives to sort of get to the first tee, the family golf, the this, the that? Does this sort of be an end to a means where all these, you have these other levels, local level of initiatives?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that the driving forces behind this are the Augusta National, the PGA of America, the USGA. And sort of deliberately, it seems, by design, not a part of it, is the PGA Tour, who are the driving forces behind the first tee. So we do seem to have parallel things going. And one of the problems with some of the Grow the Game efforts out there is there are ones that seem to be almost competing against each other and not
right.
working together. And I don't know what's going to happen with that on this, but... Augusta National is on the board of directors of the first tee and was one of the founding members of the first tee when it was created. So they are involved in both. But this seems to be intentionally operating outside and parallel to the first tee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting as it goes forward, but I just can't see. I mean, in terms of initiatives, you just can't find a better one in my mind. I mean, to look forward to the opportunity to walk on the hallowed grounds that is Augusta National and to participate and to interact with the Golf Channel people and past champions or whatnot. It's amazing.
I'll tell you, I think that Augusta National Golf Club has to be given a lot of credit. I mean, they've gotten criticized for some things in the past on membership policies and things.
Sure.
Like that, but over the last few years, they've really stepped up and taken their role as a quasi-governing body in the game very, very seriously. They created the Asia Pacific Amateur Championship, which the winner of that gets a spot in the Masters. Now, next year, they're going to have the Latin America Amateur Championship. That winner will get a spot in the Masters. and then this drive, chip, and putt thing. They are actively going out there and trying to create programs that grow the game, not just in the United States, but globally. And you know, that's the single biggest issue facing golf right now is, as a participatory sport, the game's been, in the Tiger Woods era, the game's grown as a spectator sport, but it's stayed flat as a participatory sport, and we got to turn that around somehow.
I love what you said about Augusta National leading the forefront here of some of these things. And in some levels, it makes it easier. I mean, the Masters to me is one of my favorite, is my number one favorite major to watch. And in the past, though, you felt a little guilty given the nature of the club itself and whatnot. But it's always been my favorite. They do everything so well. And now that they've sort of come up to speed, so to speak, you almost now you feel proud to love the Masters and Augusta National and what it's coming to be.
Well, they've acknowledged that the world's changed, and you know there's sort of one of the erroneous myths about Augusta National is it's a place that resists change or doesn't change. In fact, it's always slowly evolving. It may evolve slower than the society as a whole. But look, one of the reasons that they had the all-male membership to begin with was that's who the corporate leaders in America were. Well, that's changed now. There are more and more corporate leaders who are women, and so they realize they have to deal with that, and they did adapt to it. And you know, they haven't said we were wrong and we were slow to this party, but they tell you over and over and over again what a great addition Darla Moore and Condi Rice are to the club. You know, they're very, very proud of the fact that that they have female members now.
Absolutely. Ron, we're going to take a short break, so just sit tight for 1 second. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing, building, landscape firm serving Long Island for over 2 decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, talking with Ron Sirek, the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer at Golf Digest. Ron, what was the first thing? I know you have a lot of work-related things going on here, and you guys do a great media publication on every day of the Masters. But what was your tournament, as related to the tournament itself, what was the first thought you had this morning?
I guess whether Bubba's going to hold up, you know, it's a very, very, very compelling leaderboard up there. The guy who's fascinates me is John Senden in second place.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a swing to die for, a gorgeous, gorgeous golf swing, who's only won twice on tour, and he had 8 years between those wins, but one of them was this year. And, you wonder if he could, if he could hold up too, and look though who's in contention. I mean, Adam Scott, who's trying to won last year. He's trying to join Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods as the only people to win back-to-back majors. We got 20-year-old Jordan Spieth. We got a million-years-old Fred Couples. it's a really pretty compelling leaderboard. And you know, as a writer, people are always asking me, who do you want to win this week? And I always say I want the best story to win. And if you look at this, there's about a half dozen candidates out there for really, really good stories.
I liked your piece on Bubba Watson that you wrote on GolfDigest.com. I think there's a little bit of a misconception. Maybe I'm wrong, but just from things that I see out there in the, you know, in the interweb, and if you will, people seem to have a misunderstanding, if you will, of Bubba Watson to some degree. Some people seem to think he's a little bit fraudulent, I guess you could say. But I thought you did a nice job of talking about, you know, there's a difference between being a fraud, I guess you could say, and being somewhat socially awkward. And yet, in his socially awkwardness, if you will, he does have some meaningful things to say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I compared him in my story to the character Latka Gratis on Taxi. You know,
right? Exactly.
It's like he's speaking the same language that we're speaking, except it doesn't quite always mesh, you know.
Right, like, exactly.
It's like our language but a foreign language at the same time.
Right.
Bubba's a hard guy to wrap your mind around. You know, after he won here, he sort of disappeared. He went into a funk, and yesterday he sort of admitted that he had a green jacket hangover, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. Anybody who wins their first major finds out that their life has now changed dramatically. Their sponsors want more from them. The media wants more from them. The fans want more from them. And it's tough to adjust. He also became a father for the first time right around in there. So he was making that adjustment, too. And what I heard yesterday was a guy who very much seems that, like, after 22 months of trying to figure this all out, has figured out how to handle being a major championship winner and being a parent and maybe now has his feet back on the ground. We know he's an enormously gifted athlete, no question about that.
Yeah, and he's very emotional. I mean, he's not and so when you it seems to me that when you're that emotional about everything, that sort of is going to exaggerate everything that has gone on with him in the last year, whether it's the bliss, the frustration, the pressure, being so emotionally based as he is, and openly expressive, that's going to make it even more difficult, I feel like.
Everything about Bubba is self-taught. You know, his golf swing is self-taught. He's never had a teacher, and his approach to life is self-taught. He's sort of figuring it out as he goes along. And the adjustment he's made since he won here in 2012 and since he became a parent in 2012 is also following that route. I mean, you know, he said, the way I quoted him in the story, he said, I've always done everything my way, you know. And,
yep.
And it may not happen as quickly and as fast as if I had listened to people, but I've always done things my way. And, you know, Bubba's also very, very proud of the fact that he comes from a modest background and that his mom worked two jobs, his dad was a construction worker, and he didn't have a lot handed to him in life. He sort of went out and earned it. It's going to be, you know, we've seen Rory McIlroy go through this where he, after he won that U.S. Open by 8 strokes, we thought, we got the next Tiger. Then he goes into a funk for 15 months.
Right.
And he wins the PGA by 8 strokes, and we think, we've got another Tiger. and now he's sort of back in a funk, too.
Right.
You know, it's like, it makes you appreciate what Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods and Annika Sorenstam did. The ability to pile victory upon victory is a rare thing. It involves more than just technical skill. You know, you got to have your head screwed on right. You got to have that fire burning in your heart. And those are rare athletes that come along once a generation.
Speaking of appreciation, do you think that the public in general appreciates Spieth and what he's done in the last year? I mean, I feel like, the guy has gone, he had no status in 2013, and he's contending at the, you know, in the Masters. I just feel like, I'm not sure he's been given what's been due to him.
No, in a way, he's almost too nice of a guy and too low-keyed, you know. He doesn't elbow his way into the spotlight. So, you know, and it's the responsibility of people like me to get that story out there, you know, and to tell people, hey, this is something pretty remarkable is going on here. I covered him when he was an amateur, I was at two Byron Nelsons that he played and one Texas Open in San Antonio. And I was the one Byron Nelson, the Saturday night of the tournament, he makes the cut. Saturday night, he's got to go to high school graduation. You know? I'm thinking, holy moly, you know, how's he going to hold up the next day? And he did. His composure impressed me as much as his game.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable, and his game has proven to be obviously not only tour worthy, but just the way he's elevated himself. I mean, he's doing some things that I'm not sure Tiger has done in terms of his growth from going from a non-status athlete or tour player to someone who is continually makes himself part of the story.
What you like about him, and it's one of the things that's sort of been missing with Rory somewhat, but what you like about Jordan is his consistency. It's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
He goes out there and he seems to be in the mix every time he tees it up. And, you know, he's not one of these guys who's going to be, you know, T6 this week and then miss the cut next week.
He just
seems to always be hanging around the leaderboard.
Yeah, I think to your point, and I totally understand why, but to some degree, Rory really a victim of his own success. When Nike comes calling with a big fat contract and tells you, we're going to give you, we're going to back the truck up and unload a bunch of money here for you, but you're going to have to change all your equipment, that's going to take some time.
I've seen other players go through that, and it was the same company. Nike did the same thing to Suzanne Pettersen a few years ago after she had a big year.
Mm-hmm.
And she went and she changed everything. And as good as the technology is today, as good as those scientists are working for a company, it takes a while to get everything right. You know, maybe your trajectory has changed. Your ball flight's a little bit different. You don't know if that has to do with the shaft, with the driver, with the loft of the driver, with the ball, the spin rate of the ball, you know, and as good as all that computer marriaging is of technology, it still takes a while to get all those pieces together. Plus, you know, we all know how big confidence how much big of a role confidence plays in the game. And sometimes when you change equipment, you're just looking down, and it's a different club down there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it takes a while to make that mental adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not forget, he's a young kid who's in love, too. And although that sort of all settled itself out, he was going through that sort of stuff. And all the power to him. It's just, unfortunately, he's got a lot of eyeballs on him.
Yeah, I think when you're having a celebrity romance like that, you know, it's not like just two regular 23-year-old kids who can go out to dinner somewhere. They're going to go out to dinner somewhere, and there's going to be cameramen following them around, and
sure,
there's going to be people coming up to them asking for autographs. And yeah, that was another adjustment they had to make. And if you look at it, it had a negative impact on both of their games. Caroline Wozniacki was number one in the world in women's tennis when they started going out, and her game tailed off. I think it was an adjustment that they both had to make.
What's your sense of Freddie Couples on the weekend? He struggled. He's been up there every year, but the weekend, as he's admitted, at least on TV yesterday, Saturday hasn't been his best day going forward. But what's your sense of him?
You know, technology has made it possible for players to compete at an older age before. But one of the things, and I think sometimes what the public doesn't appreciate about this golf course is this is a very physically demanding golf course. It's tough to walk. There's a lot of hills here. It's also tough to think your way around this golf course. Augusta's the kind of place where if you fall asleep for one shot for 5 minutes, you're going to make the big number and play yourself out of it. I think both the physical and the mental toll of 72 holes of stroke play, where you can't end up with the ball in your pocket on any hole, you got to get it in the cup, really takes its toll on players here and wears them down. And Freddie has positioned himself like this several times in recent years at this tournament because he knows the course so well. He's got the demeanor, the calmness to handle the demands of the course. But this course ultimately does wear you out, and it's tough, I think, at that age to stay that focused for 4 days.
Yeah, and I follow a bunch of caddies on Twitter, and as I'm sure you do as well, and they say all the time, hands down, it's the hardest golf course to walk for them to, you know, and you think of some of the tracks that they have to negotiate,
yeah,
and they say it all the time, and it's the hardest. But Okay.
The elevation change from number 10 tee to number 12 green must be about 250 feet.
Right.
This is a very hilly golf course.
Absolutely. We're going to take one more short break, and we'll be back to wrap things up. We're talking with Ron Cyrak. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is Ron Cyrak, the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer of Golf Digest. Ron, what are you looking for this over the weekend? We know, as you said, you set it up nicely that we've had sort of difficult conditions wind-wise and with the whole location setup-wise. You're expecting a little more excitement on the weekend, which I think we're all expecting. Do you think that this is going to be someone like with more experience who's going to sort of forge to the front on moving day, or do you like someone out of the pack on the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, the guy I'm going to be curious about today is Adam Scott. He showed me a lot yesterday. He started out, he bogeyed three of the first five holes, and it looked like the pressures of being the defending champion were just going to be too much for him. And then he bounced back with a 33 in the back nine and got himself right into contention. He's at three under par. He's four shots off Bubba's lead. He's only one shot out of second place. I had a chance to spend some time with him Wednesday night. We had the Golf Writers Association of America annual awards dinner, and he was voted our male player of the year. And I'm the president of the GWAA right now, and I presented the award to him and got to hang out with him a little bit. And he seemed like a guy who's very, very comfortable here. He said it took him until about 2010, 2011 to figure this golf course out. But now he figures like he understands it. And he believes in himself as a major champion. And what impressed me about him when he won here last year is how quickly he bounced back from the disaster at Royal Live in St. Anne's when he bogeyed the last four holes and finished second by one stroke. I think Adam's a guy who's we've always loved his swing. He's always struggled with the putter, which is why he uses the broomstick. But it seems at age 32 that he's starting to figure things out. I'm going to be curious to see if he positions himself today to be able to make a run tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be a fascinating guy to watch. I also agree that Bubba Watson will be just an interesting guy to watch. Just physically, I mean, he's so twitchy and so edgy.
Yeah.
If
Bubba went out and put up a 67 today, he could put this tournament away.
Right.
He could, and he's certainly capable of that. I mean, he's got amazing. You wonder sometimes with Bubba, there's a little bit of fill in him, and sometimes you wonder. You know, and not too many people would ever use this phrase with Bubba, but sometimes you wonder whether he overthinks things.
Right.
And Phil does that, but with Bubba, it's more like he's just having fun.
Right.
One of the great things, and anybody listening out there, if you're ever at a tournament, one of the most enjoyable things to do is to go to the practice range and watch Bubba hit balls. He's genetically incapable of hitting the ball straight. He's just sitting there working in both ways. It's a hoot to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it, and you're absolutely right. Well, Ron, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate you. You're the consummate professional. Love what you do on TV and in print. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, and hope you have me back again sometime.
Absolutely, we will.
You got it.
Enjoy the weekend of the Masters.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. All right, that's Ron Cyrak, the executive editor of Golf World, senior writer, Golf Digest. Thank you, folks, for another great half hour. Enjoy the Masters. We'll talk to you next week.